The title for my message this morning is The Use of the Word Amen in Public Corporate Worship. And the way you just said Amen illustrates why I want to preach on that word this morning. I hope you'll allow me to begin with a personal illustration. When Sandra and I were married in Leyburn in North Yorkshire back in, I think it's 94, somewhere like that. But the minister who married us actually rebuked the congregation for not saying Amen. He had formally married us with the saying of the vows and the giving of rings and so forth. And then he went on to say various prayers for us. But when Reverend Alton came to the end of leading the congregation in prayer, no one, or hardly anyone, could be heard saying Amen. And so Reverend Alton stood and raised his finger and gently rebuked all of us there that day. He said this, I took it off the wedding video. He said, I would remind you, good folk, as I have reminded many congregations, that the word Amen is not my word, it is your word. And when the minister says a prayer and you respond Amen, it means so may it be, or so be it. And it's your word, and we fulfill all those prayers. At the time, I just thought, well, he's a bit fussy. He's a Methodist, so maybe you know how they like things to be done according to a method. I thought, well, I wasn't a Christian at the time. But now that I am a Christian, and now that I'm a minister, I've come to realize he's absolutely right. The word Amen is your word. The Amen, the definite article, which we'll look at later on, the Amen is for you, the gathered congregation, for you to say at the end of a prayer. From my own experiences of preaching in other places, I've led meetings, and as I've led those congregations earnestly in prayer, fervently praising the Lord, earnestly asking Him to act in mercy and so forth. But then when I come to the end of my prayer, and when the congregation should at that very point join me in a hearty Amen, sadly, what too often I hear is either nothing, literally nothing, or maybe a muffle or a shuffle or something from out there in the congregation. I've been at prayer meetings in other churches where we have prayed for Mrs. So-and-so. And Mrs. So-and-so is very ill. She's in intensive care. Or we've prayed for the salvation of Mr. So-and-so or whatever. And when we come to the end of the prayer, only two or three in the whole room have said Amen. The rest have either fallen asleep or they're awake, but they've said nothing at the end of the prayer. That's what I've experienced at other churches. Other churches. Other churches. But it does happen here as well, to some extent, as you just demonstrated. It does happen here somewhat. Sometimes when I've sat amongst you, when we've come to pray, I've noticed that at the end of someone's prayer, some of you say nothing, literally say nothing. And so if you think of the closing verse of the opening hymn we began our worship with, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Look at the last verse. Praise to the Lord. Oh, let all that is in me adore Him. All that has life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again. Gladly we praise and adore Him. Some of us don't sound the Amen at the end of a prayer like that. You don't seem to convey any agreement to the desire of a hymn like that. That all that has life and breath, come now with praises before God. You're silent, as though it's not something you would want to happen. So this is a one-off sermon. So this morning, let's just look together at this very important word, Amen. First of all, what does the word Amen actually mean? It's interesting how in the passages we read, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul there is talking about Corinthians speaking in tongues, and how when someone speaks in another language, the others there won't know what the person praying is talking about. Except that the word Amen is actually a word that all languages recognize. The word Amen is a transliteration of the very same word that you find in both the Hebrew and in the Greek. In other words, the word Amen in your Old Testament, in the original Hebrew, it is pronounced Amen. The same word in your New Testament, in the Greek, it's also pronounced Amen. And so in our English translation and in every other translation, the word is printed as a transliteration of the original as it sounds. Amen. And so you could go to a prayer meeting anywhere else in the world, and because they are speaking a language which is different to yours, you wouldn't understand what they're saying. But you would know when they had reached the end of the prayer, because they would say, as we would say, Amen. But what does the word mean? Well, it means so be it, or truthfully, or genuinely, or as you see it used in old languages, verily. Of course, in the King James Version of the Bible, the Authorized Version, particularly in John's Gospel, you'd read there how the Lord Jesus often begins a sentence with that word, verily, verily, I say unto you. For example, John chapter 3, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you look at the Greek behind those words, verily, Jesus is saying, Amen, Amen, I say to you. In other words, listen very carefully. This is truth. This is absolutely true, and you don't want to miss it. So listen very carefully. So Jesus there uses Amen to emphasize the genuineness of something. And so the NIV would translate those verses as, I tell you the truth. Or the ESV would say, truly, truly, I say to you. It's interesting how the Lord Jesus, how he himself personifies Amen. You think of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. One of those letters that the Lord is writing to the churches in Revelation, the church at Laodicea, he says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Jesus there is labeling himself as the Amen. In other words, he is God's truth incarnate. He is the Amen. He is the eminently true and faithful witness of God, and a witness of all of God's truth. The word is also used as an expression of the heart. For example, at the end of Psalm 72, in verse 18, you read, praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Do you see there how the psalmist is wanting the whole earth to give praise and honor to the Lord God? That psalm is full of his enthusiasm, full of his passion. This is something that he is obviously passionate about. This is something which he really wants to happen. And so at the end of his plea, he ends, Amen and Amen. Let it be. Let it be. In other words, with all my heart, I really want this to happen. Amen and amen. And you see the same word in other places, like what I read earlier, 1 Chronicles 16. That is when King David brings the ark into Jerusalem. At the end of verse 36, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen. That's absolutely true. Praise the Lord. Later on in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 36, at the other end of David's reign, when he's dying, and he declares that his son Solomon will take over his place, one of the men standing by David's bed replies, amen. May the Lord, the God of my Lord the King, so declare it. Again, let it be, Lord. As David has just said, may Solomon now become king. Another place is from Deuteronomy chapter 27, where you read there the old covenant curses. And as each curse was read out, the people of Israel had to verbally affirm their acceptance of each curse. Then all the people shall say, amen. In other words, cursed is the man, for example, who dishonors his father or his mother, and all the people would say, amen. So be it. When you look at the New Testament, when you read the epistles, you think of the Apostle Paul and how he includes prayer in his letters. He often concludes a prayer with amen. Five times in his letter to the Romans, he says amen. Twice in Galatians, twice in Philippians, twice in 1 Timothy, and so forth. In fact, other New Testament writers also end with amen. Peter ends both of his epistles with amen. In other words, everything I've just written, so be it. John, when he writes Revelation, includes amen nine times. You have that glorious scene that John had, that vision of heaven that was given to him in chapter 7. After this I looked, he said, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing round the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Do you see how the word is used in Scripture? Twice they convey how passionate they are that what they've just said actually happens. From the depths of our being, we want this so. So the word amen is an expression of consent. It's an expression that conveys a hearty agreement with something true. For example, the Lord our God is the one and true and only living God. And everyone would say amen to that. That's right. Absolutely true. Amen. It's also an expression that conveys a hearty agreement with what's been asked for in prayer. For example, may the whole earth be filled with the praise of the Lord. And everyone could say amen to that. We really want that to happen. So secondly then, let's look more at how this word is used in worship. It's interesting, there's no record of Jesus ever saying amen. That word, that if you think of when the disciples asked him to teach them to pray, and he taught them what is normally referred to as the Lord's Prayer. For yours is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Some say those concluding verses aren't in the original. If that is true, then Jesus himself never actually said amen. So is that an argument then from silence that we should not say amen? It's a weak argument, I think. When you look at all the other places in Scripture where amen is clearly used, you think of what Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 14. You see there how from this passage people are expected to say the amen at the end of a prayer. Verse 16, if you are praising God with your spirit or if you're speaking in tongues, he says, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying? That word amen in that verse, it has a definite article. In other words, if we were looking very literally at the Greek, it would say the amen. And so there are some translations include the word the, some literal translations. In other words, at Corinth, there was an expected amen to be said at the end of a prayer. And so when you look at verse 16 there, Paul's concern for them was that if people are praying in tongues and so others haven't a clue, how will others know what to say the amen to, since they won't have understood what the person praying actually said? Do you understand? So there's this expectation for the amen to be used in public worship. And going on from what Paul says here, there's something wrong then if people aren't saying it. Something missing, at least, if people aren't saying it. People listening to someone else pray or someone else speak words of truth, they ought to be able to understand what's being said so they can respond with the amen. Now, that automatically infers something, doesn't it? It infers that when someone is praying, the others are listening. Doesn't it? Rather, the others are praying with the person leading them in prayer. In other words, there is this active involvement from the others listening. They're not taking a quick nap when someone else is doing all the talking, but they are actively listening to the words that are being said. In fact, what they're doing is they are participating in the prayer. They aren't merely sat with their heads down and their eyes closed, but they're listening carefully to the person leading them in prayer. They're earnestly listening and pleading in their hearts as the other person prays their prayer. They're even adding to it in their own minds as the Holy Spirit prompts them. And so those who are listening are again and again saying within themselves, yes, Lord. You find yourself at a prayer meeting when someone is clearly praying, clearly coming before God, don't you feel inside your heart saying yes to every petition the person brings before God? You're with them in their prayer, aren't you? It's not just them sat talking and we all sit in silence with eyes closed and heads down. We're with them. We're praying with them. We're actively engaged in their prayer with them. So there's always this participation in our corporate worship, in our corporate prayer times. Now, I know some prayers don't actually encourage that. Some prayers are slow and dreary, mumbled. Some prayers are not at all stimulating to listen to. It's hard to keep listening, to keep concentrating when someone prays like that. which reminds us how when we pray in public, we pray differently to when we pray in private. In private, you can take as long as you want. You can sit or stand or kneel, or you can lie on your face, or you can groan from the depths of your heart, and the Holy Spirit will translate that groan into a prayer to the Father. No one else is with you. It's just you and God. No one else needs to understand you, since it's just you and the Lord. But in public worship, prayers must be tailored for public worship. Prayers must be clear, must be audible, must be relevant for others to hear, others to understand, for the others here to stay engaged with you and to participate with you in your prayer. Public prayers need to be helpful in that sense, so that when the prayer does end, people aren't going amen because the prayer has now ended and boy, that was awful. But they're saying amen because yes, we want everything that man or woman asked for. D.L. Moody said some prayers are so bad they need to be cut off at both ends and set on fire in the middle. But when you have prayed helpfully, others have been with you throughout it, and their hearts have ached with yours. And so, as you end, they can heartily and audibly affirm what you've said with the expected amen. So, yes, Lord God, hear our praise. In Jesus' name, hear our prayers. Hear our petition as we pray for the forgiveness of our sins. Oh, yes, Lord, let it be, please. Hear our prayer as we pray for the salvation of our children, for others. As we pray for our families and friends that they would be healed of their sicknesses, Lord. Lord God, amen and amen. Let it be, Lord, we plead with you. Corporate prayer, whether it's in a setting like this or in a smaller prayer gathering, but it's never passive. For those not leading in prayer, everyone participates. Everyone is involved in the prayer being said. And so the amen is expected of us, certainly in our public corporate worship. So can I encourage you to say amen? Can you say it loud enough to be heard by others? Don't shout it, don't scream it. But say it loud enough to be heard by those beside you. Why? Because when we say it, we are agreeing together what we've just prayed for. We are together agreeing on what this person asked for. So it's not a word to be crudely shouted. But neither is it to be whispered or grunted. Can you imagine that scene in heaven in Revelation 7? All those angels, the elders, the four living creatures, there they are falling down on their faces before God. There they are full of praise and they go, amen, at the end. Can you imagine that? Not at all. Can you imagine the psalmist whispering amen as he ends Psalm 106? Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, amen. They wouldn't do that, would they? The thing is, you see, when you whisper amen, do you really mean it? What do you think it says, for example, to our visitors when they hear us whisper the amen? What does that convey to them of how serious we are, how earnest we are in our prayers? What do you think it says to those being prayed for They hear us pray for them, but they don't hear that clear and affirming amen from those around them. How encouraging that word can be to someone when they hear others pray for them and they hear their brothers and sisters together say, amen, Lord, we're praying for our sister, we're praying for our brother. We plead with you, Lord, that you would do these things we've asked for. And the whole of God's people say, amen. What a great encouragement that is to that person to hear that. Otherwise, they might think, well, do these people really care whether God answers it or not? What do you think it conveys to God when we end our prayers to him without the enthusiasm, without the desire for him to answer what it is we have just asked for? I know it's not the level of our enthusiasm that guarantees our prayers. It's Jesus. It is the Amen. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who guarantees our prayers for us. That's why it's in his name that we always pray. Because it's him alone who is the mediator between God and us. But friends, what do we convey to Christ when we ask, for example, that his name be exalted in all the earth? We want to see Jesus lifted high. A banner over all the earth, we sing sometimes, don't we? If we were to pray that and end it in silence or with some form of a mumbled word, what does that really convey? You and I, we have the great privilege of coming before God, coming right into his presence, coming before that exalted throne of grace. And there, because of Jesus, there at that throne of grace, we can come and we can ask for help. We can ask God to do things on our behalf for those we care for. And we find at that throne a listening ear. We find at that throne a loving heart. So may we come before that throne as God has prescribed for us and together learn to say the Amen. So as that hymn says, let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly we praise and adore him. Lord, forgive us when we have run out of steam, as it were, by the end of our prayers. Forgive us, Father, that we have not conducted ourselves as we ought. We pray you'll forgive us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will persuade us of the importance of this concluding word, that we may convey to you and to one another that, Lord, when we come before you, we mean it. We long for you to answer our prayers, Lord, as we ask them. So hear us, Lord, please. Change our hearts, Lord, please. May Jesus indeed be exalted in our lives and through the witness of this church, Lord. God, help us then. Hear us, we pray, Father, because of Jesus. Amen.